Hey everyone, and welcome to Unconventional Wellness Radio, a powerful and inspiring podcast set to revolutionize and disrupt healthcare. It's time to put you in the driver's seat and be the force of change necessary for the lifestyle you've always wanted. Hey everyone, and welcome back to part two of my conversation with Jim Rohr, licensed acupuncturist out of Brooklyn, New York, and also the author of Unlearning Stress. And we are going to dive further into what acupuncture is and how it may be of large benefit to you and possibly the key that you need to have improved health. So enjoy the rest of this podcast today and have a wonderful weekend. And I think even especially in today's day and age, and this is on another soapbox that I'll go stand on elsewhere, but you know, it's like, it's funny how we'll talk to one another and we'll just simply say those two magical words when we say, "Hey, Jim, how have you been?" "Oh, I'm so busy."
Yeah.
Like we don't really just say, "I'm good," or, you know, "Life is tough, but we're doing it." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Life is good. So it's always, "I'm busy," like as if like I need to be reassured by you going, "Ah, man, I totally get exactly what you're saying." That way, like if I'm not busy, I'm apparently not doing what everybody else is doing, right?
Yeah, that glorification of being busy. It's like, we gotta just be done with that.
Totally. And so, like I said, there's a cool thing that we're doing right now to try to help explain to people that you can slow down. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with actually taking a break. Our body is designed for moderation. So I would think then that, you know, not just the sleep, but of course the stress. I mean, like, you know, mental health, how many folks do you now see and have you seen since 2005 to now? Has there been a lot more folks coming in to you for like mental health concerns?
Huge. Huge. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I wrote that book, Unlearning Stress, is that, you know, it's just like it's taking over. And it's really, to me, it's heartbreaking, you know, to see people of all ages coming in with so much stress. And when I moved here to New York, all of a sudden I had to start asking everybody if they have jaw pain, because so many people here are clenching and grinding their teeth because they're just super strung out. And so, you know, it's like I probably almost like 90% of my clients are going to get some kind of treatment each time I see them for their jaw. Because
wow.
There's just so much tension there, you know? And that's one of the things that I think acupuncture is so good at is certainly the way that I practice too. I only see one person at a time. So they've got a private room. It's a really nice, mellow vibe. It's a good space. And, you know, the joke is that I pin them to the table so that they have to relax for a half hour, 45
sure.
minutes.
Like sure.
And, you know, that creates, you know, this pattern interrupt, which I think is just so important. And it's one of the things that I love also about the essential oils is that when people get in these loops of stress, we have to interrupt that pattern, you know. And you and I talked on the beach about like PTSD,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so part of what has to happen is there has to be this pattern interrupt. We have to be able to just disrupt the looping. You know, and so smelling wild orange can do it. Frankincense is great for that also. And acupuncture is tremendous for that as well. Because if you take someone who's got really bad anxiety, take someone who's got PTSD, and you just tell them to relax, it's kind of like, no, like they don't know. They don't know. Like it's been so long, if ever, that they felt that way.
I'm feeling
so. Acupuncture, at least the way that I like to do it, is it's such a great experience because we're tapping into the body's wisdom, activating that parasympathetic nervous system, shifting them out of a fight or flight response, while also giving the one-to-one connection that helps them to feel not so isolated. And it gives them a physiologically new experience of what it might be like to downshift, to just relax a little bit more. So that then when they go home, if they want to embark on, you know, whether it's therapy or meditation even, they can have a new physiological memory to be like, oh, well, if I can feel like I felt after acupuncture, or if I can use that, like, you know, even if they relax for 10 minutes, it's like, yeah, this is a reminder that your body still has the capacity to feel good. And that is worth celebrating, like, to the end of time. You know, the question then becomes, what do you need to do in your life to accentuate that feeling, to recreate that feeling again and again and again, you know? And that's where all of the rest of, you know, your podcast comes in, and giving people the lifestyle support is just so, so important.
Well, I appreciate that shameless plug, but I love what you said. It was so profound that like I myself as a person who suffers from post-traumatic stress. When I did acupuncture, and actually, matter of fact, I'm glad we're having this podcast because it's reminding me that I probably should go and do more because it doesn't seem like you can really get ever enough, is that it really did do that. I mean, like, I just became so contemplative. I became so calm. And I was just kind of like, no way. My body actually understands how to still relax. Yeah. And I understand how to still just be forced to literally chill here. Mm-hmm. And relax with my thoughts and realize that I can, in fact, do this. I mean, my sleep definitely improved. I realized that, the research is now coming out for anybody that's listening, is that if you've suffered trauma, and I really want people to understand that trauma, guys, can be from anything, and you don't have to have served a day in the military to have ever had to suffer from trauma. And so, you know, we throw around that term PTSD, if you will, and you mainly think of like military soldiers or airmen or Marines or whatever. And don't get me wrong, our brothers and sisters in arms absolutely can experience something that causes PTSD. But you can't tell me, like you being from Brooklyn, that back on 9/11, that you didn't have New Yorkers absolutely get PTSD from seeing what happened when those towers collapsed because those planes ran into them. There's probably still people today that still relive that and walk by where the towers are and where they're creating the new towers and all that and just relive that entire experience again. And so I say all that, guys, because you absolutely do not have had to have served in the military to ever have a traumatic experience. And so I really want to urge you to be powerful and be cognizant of the fact that you're not alone. And so, you know what? I mean, this whole concept of good wellness and lifestyle, to include maybe considering acupuncture, can be great because the studies are showing that your brain actually gets rewired. Like, you actually physically can change your mind and you end up reacting to something very similar in a very non-normal way. And that's what a lot of folks who have ever suffered from trauma actually experience. Is that something that you've also seen in your years of practice?
Yeah, for sure. One of the things I like to joke about in the practice is that one of the benefits of acupuncture is it makes your fuse a lot longer. So, you know, people, especially people that have a tendency to be angry and have these outbursts, you know, just chill you out so that the fuse gets a lot longer so that, you know, you've got a lot more time to continue to interrupt that patterning.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's it.
I was going to say that we have that wonderful thing. I learned a really great thing from actually an equine therapist about how what makes us different than other animals. Okay. Because by and far we are animals just like any of these other ones that roam around the planet. What makes us different than them is this wonderful thing called the prefrontal cortex. And we have the capability of actually having a rational, logical thought based on an emotion that we're feeling. And so we've been able to really, I myself have been able to harness that and realize that the only thing that really that prefrontal cortex needs is time.
Yeah.
Like if you give that prefrontal cortex time to react to whatever you're feeling or whatever emotion you've got going on, then you're going to react in a much more rational human being sort of way rather than reacting like, say, you know, a cow would given the same stimulus, you know? And so I urge you guys that if acupuncture may be a missing piece of your ability to just kind of cope and relax and all that sort of stuff, it's not hokey. Yeah. Western medicine has been going on for hundreds of years, whereas Eastern medicine has been going on for thousands of years with a lot more people. So if you're saying that I need evidence-based medicine, I would say that thousands of years, pretty solid. Nobody's ever really died from acupuncture, from my best of my knowledge. Is that right, Jim?
Yeah, correct. And there's that evidence is coming out. I mean, the military has been doing that research. They recently, at least a few years ago, they were hiring a bunch of licensed acupuncturists to work on their bases, you know, because they've seen enough evidence that it's legit. And it's definitely worth a try. The few things, kind of just to finish on the sort of practical side of all that stuff. The needles are one-time use, sterile, disposable. Everything is totally safe. It's clean, sanitary. Here in the U.S., you have to use disposable needles. No state you can use reusable needles. So everything is really clean there. What else was I going to say? I just lost it.
That's okay. The big thing is probably about the needles, though, honestly. That is true.
Yeah, And they're super small, so they're solid. Unlike a hypodermic needle where they're injecting you with something, those have to be bigger because they're holding some kind of liquid. Mm. These are all solid. So some of them are just as big as a hair. I mean, they're like super, super thin. Well, most of us acupuncturists complain that we call them needles. You know, it'd almost be better if we called them filaments because, you know, it changes the mental association with it. One of the things that I hear consistently with people who come in kind of afraid is they say, oh, that wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be, or that didn't hurt at all, you know? And it's like, yeah, I wouldn't be in business if this stuff hurt.
Nobody would go see an acupuncturist if it was painful.
And it wouldn't be effective for like that pattern interrupt, you know, to help ease someone from anxiety. If the needles hurt so much, like that's not going to be a comfortable experience for them. So it really is a phenomenal resource. Oh, this is what I was going to say, is that the mistake, if there is one, that people make when they get acupuncture is they don't go enough. So they'll go once and they'll be like, oh, I tried acupuncture and, you know, I don't know, it just wasn't really for me. You know, it's like, well, that doesn't really count. Like if you go 4, 5, 6 times in the span of 3 or 4 weeks and then you say it didn't help you, I'd be like, okay, you gave it a good go. Maybe that practitioner wasn't the best person for you, or maybe you weren't really in a position to fully heal. But if you gave it, you know, 4, 5, 6 treatments in a short period of time, like you gave it a good try. But someone who's like, oh, I tried it once and it didn't do anything, it's like, come on, guy. Yeah.
That's the magic pill philosophy. Yeah. We just want to be able to do the one and done. I mean, like, that's the reason why weight loss industries are billion-dollar industries, is because I have this new shake that I can give you that I promise. You drink it for a week and all of a sudden you'll drop 30 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, guys, there is no magic pill out there. I mean, like, it's a lifestyle change, because if you think about it, it took us a little bit of time to get to that point. Like, it wasn't like we woke up and all of a sudden my knee was hurting every single day. I mean, I must have been doing something to have that knee tell me I'm going to start increasingly hurting and letting you know that I'm hurt. And so you have to be able to take those lifestyle choices and be able to do that. Now, if I may, because I might be a little bit smarter than your average bear, because we've tried a lot of these different things, is that, can you speak to me about, like, you know, some of the other Eastern topics of medicine where it comes to, like, cupping or the use of the magnets during the treatments, or really, honestly, any of that sort of thing? Is there any way that you can shed some light on that as well?
Yeah, sure. So cupping is super popular. You know, you saw it, especially during the Olympics a few years ago. Michael Phelps was, you know, just covered everywhere. It's another way to remove stagnation from the body, is a kind of the way to think about it in Chinese medicine terms, because we're always trying to promote movement. And so cupping, the application of suction cups on the body, creates a vacuum. And so you're going to see what look to be bruises on the skin, but it doesn't feel like a bruise. It's just the capillaries broke because of the suction. And it can help with muscle recovery. It's also great for colds and like coughs. Especially those like deep-seated coughs where the phlegm just isn't coming out, it can really help to improve circulation there. So it's another way to stimulate basically movement and healing through the body.
And usually a cupping session, is it less than an hour normally, right?
Yeah. I mean, if someone's just doing cupping, it's like, it can be like 10, 15 minutes. You know, I'll usually do it after an acupuncture treatment, because the combination of the two is great. We'll use the needles to help activate that parasympathetic to get that deeper movement of the chi through the meridians. And then the cupping is great, really just kind of locally for providing more muscle relief.
Okay, gotcha. All right. And then what about, like, because I mean, like, I guess maybe this is more of a personal question, because I've also had to have it where I had a magnet. I had like a little magnet that I had to tap on some other needles that stayed, or studs, if you will, that kind of stayed in a certain spot.
Yeah, that's a technique. I remember we talked about that on the beach. That's a technique that I'm not that familiar with.
Okay.
So I think that's more of my guess would be that that's a modern kind of approach to try to. The idea is, like, how do you give continual stimulation so that people can disrupt those patterns, so that people can help to initiate that change? Magnets, you know, the idea is you've got some polarity that's also going to be, in short, encouraging movement through the body, encouraging circulation. And if you put them over certain acupuncture points, that might be a way to help, you know, get a stronger effect from the magnet.
Okay. Maybe it was just maybe, well, because the acupuncture that we did, that was years ago when we actually had an anesthesiologist who was learning how to do acupuncture as well. So I guess I was a stool pigeon. And so she would take this magnet and just touch it against your ear at these various spots throughout the day. So maybe if she was just trying to get me to, like, take my brain off of stuff.
It's possible. Yeah, the ear points are great. So the ear points we use a lot for trauma. So after 9/11, I wasn't here in New York then, but after 9/11, acupuncturists went around to firehouses and offered anyone that wanted a free treatment. They would do this trauma protocol, which is points in the ear. And the ear points are used for more than just trauma, but they work well in those kind of community settings because you can just have someone sit in a chair. People go by, they do it in the ear. You can still move your head. You don't need a table. It's like, it's a very low cost of kind of production. But the ear points are great to help, you know, really shift some of the energy, especially anxiety.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I definitely, it was one of those ones I think I did it for like a couple of weeks and I thought that it was actually pretty beneficial. So yeah, it definitely, I mean, like I echo what Jim has been saying. You definitely have to go more than once, guys. Like, don't go just one time and expect that you're going to be all of a sudden miraculously relieved of everything, which, I mean, if it happens, great.
It can happen. Yeah. I mean, I joke with my clients. I'm like, hey, if that happens, like, I'm going to celebrate that, but please don't tell your friends that all it took was one treatment.
Because then
I don't want to lie to people wanting that. Yeah.
Then that threshold is there, and all of a sudden now you've got to perform, and it's like, no, I can't do that. It's everybody's different. So, All right, well, let's wrap up. This has been such a great conversation. Let's wrap up a little bit with, like, let's talk about your book, if you don't mind. Like, what's it about, and sort of like, how did you get inspired to do it? And then, if you don't mind, let's also talk about how people can maybe get a copy of it if they're interested.
Sure. So the book is called Unlearning Stress, and it's it was the 10 big things that I found myself saying over and over and over again. To help disrupt that stress pattern. And the title comes from this idea that, you know, the stress that we have, so much of it is learned. It's, what are the stories that we've been telling ourselves? What are the beliefs that we have? You know, and it's this kind of learned behavior. So to create a more relaxed lifestyle, it's not necessarily about doing more things that are relaxing. A lot of it is just getting rid of the stuff that's stressful, unlearning those beliefs, disidentifying from some of those stories. So it's meant to be kind of a light book. You know, there's like some cartoons and stuff in there, but it really kind of basic stuff. So it's a great book for someone who's like, I'm stressed out. I don't have any idea where to begin. You know, it's like chapter one is deep breathing. You know, it's like, we have to reengage the physiology with, you know, feeling the abdomen expand on the inhale, contract on the exhale, engaging the diaphragm. That's going to activate that parasympathetic response at a very core level. And most people that are really stressed, they may not even realize it, but they're just doing this like shallow breathing. So their physiology there is reinforcing that stress reaction.
Okay.
So it's got stuff like that. I think it's fun.
How do I get a copy?
Yeah, you can get on Amazon. Just type in Unlearning Stress and it's right there. You order it and check it out.
And we'll go ahead, guys, for the purpose of this podcast, you know, go check out the show notes and we'll make sure that we drop a link.
Awesome.
To go ahead and be able to get a copy of that. So, because of course we need to definitely learn that. That could be like the key to a lot of problems that we honestly deal with every single day, because stress, guys, is normal, but our reactions to stress are not, you know, how we compartmentalize and all that kind of stuff. So, and then last, certainly not least though, you got to talk to me about this podcast, Pleasure Points, and how did you become this love coach and where did that all come from?
Yeah. So, the love coaching stuff came from what we were talking about where, you know, people would come in and they, you know, my practice is mostly women just because they're the biggest consumers of alternative therapies. And they would come in with all sorts of stuff, whether it was headaches, digestive issues, chronic pain, anxiety, I mean, you name it. Mm-hmm. And what I realized over the last 15 years of working with them is that, women especially, their health seemed to be almost directly related to the quality of their relationships. So I could give them acupuncture, we could get the headaches to go away, we could get the anxiety to drop down, we could get the pain to go away. But if their relationship life was a mess, they would keep coming back. They would keep somaticizing or internalizing that stress and that tension. Sure. And in particular, you know, what we know with the research is that people that are feeling lonely are just really behind the eight ball when it comes to health, wellness, longevity, quality of life. And I think that, you know, any kind of work that's going to help shift people from a state of being lonely to feeling connected is so, so valuable and important. And so what I realized when I was working with these women is that I could do the acupuncture forever, but if they didn't have new skill sets to approach their relationships, then there was always going to be kind of a ceiling as to how good they could feel. Because the research is clear. When people are in great relationships, everything gets better. Sure. You know, when the relationship's healthy, their sleep is better, stress is better, you know, they live longer, better financial decisions, like on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, maybe I can take my knowledge of physiology and Chinese medicine and with the essential oils, along with the coaching experiences that I've had, and design a program that helps women to call in a great partner. And the reason that I chose to work with healthcare practitioners is because they're on the front lines.
Sure.
You know, when they feel full, they have so much more to give others. And there's something that happens when people are giving all day, where, especially for someone who's single, going from giving, 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 to then going into the dating world, oftentimes they'll attract fixer-uppers, guys with potential but aren't really there because they're used to seeing the best in people. But when it comes to a romantic partner, you know, they don't have time to waste on someone who 5 or 10 years from down the line might be there. So it's helping them to manage their energy so that they can feel confident and make those shifts. And then ultimately, you know, so that they feel good.
Awesome. Well, so where did this come from? Like, what was the experience? What was sort of like the catalyst for you to be able to start thinking about helping these women and maybe even men out?
Yeah. Just seeing my clients who were single and unhappy and mm-hmm. frustrated in that, how much time and energy was spent in that loop of dating and being stuck in the gossip and the wondering of, you know, is it going to happen? Or the anxiety of like checking their phone all the time to see if he's texting. It's like, what is the life force that's lost there when you're hinging your mood on whether or not some dude that you met a week ago is texting you?
Exactly.
You know, but they just sit there and they pull out their phone and check and check and check and check and check. And I was like, whoa, this has got to change. Yeah. And I wanted to be able to have an impact outside of my treatment room. I wanted to have a vehicle for people around the world to be able to work with me.
Awesome. And so your podcast is called Pleasure Points. It is, I'm assuming, of course, on iTunes. Is there other media that we can
listen to? Yeah, so Pleasure Points, you can find it on iTunes. It's on all the podcast providers, so you can just type that in. And it's really about kind of mindfulness living. We do talk about dating, and that's something that comes up, but it's not the focus of it. I visit with a wide variety of amazing people doing great things.
Okay.
But the talks all seem to come back around to mindfulness, presence, paying attention, observing the self. Ultimately, how do we have more freedom in life and how do we thrive?
Okay, then let's just say that I'm one of your, you know, potential women listening to this podcast and I want to reach out to you to possibly talk to you about, you know, coaching and everything like that. How do I get a hold of you?
Yeah, so the coaching website is called invitinginlove.com. Invitinginlove.com will take you to the coaching stuff. For people that are interested in the brick and mortar acupuncture practice, if they're here in Brooklyn and New York, that's acupuncturewilliamsburg.com. So pretty straightforward.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, guys, if you've ever needed a nice, not so violent, but yet sort of like brotherly shove, I would offer to you that you need to go see, if you're in the Brooklyn area, definitely go see Jim, of course. But if you guys need any more motivation, I promise you acupuncture was a huge key for me. It really helped a lot of my mentality. And just like what Jim was saying about the whole, like, breaking thought patterns and sort of like, it seemed like my brain was getting rewired. And I was able to just simply calm myself down. And just as he jokingly said, it's so true. You felt like you had to be pinned to the table because you weren't allowed to move. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you had to sit there and I became a very much a Chinese gong, like, aficionado. Like, at the music, the Eastern medicine is just phenomenal. And I would, like, disappear, like, off into some weird, like, I was half asleep, but still there. It was just, guys, it was so amazing. The experience was unbelievable. And honestly, it took me 12 treatments to even just remotely scratch the surface.
Wow.
And now because of it, your conversation with you today, I'm going to probably end up calling the Veterans Affairs and get myself another round of acupuncture going again.
Yeah, good. Yeah, the VA, they're covering it now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, veterans, listen up. I forgot. I just kind of casually said that. But Veterans Administration, now, if you're seen by the Veterans Department of Veteran Affairs, like at a hospital or a clinic, they will outsource you to an acupuncture, licensed acupuncturist, or if they have a licensed acupuncturist in-house, that you can actually go see them in-house. And
yeah.
I think a lot more folks are getting trained to actually be able to do some acupuncture, you know, like DOs and MDs and NPs.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I know they're actually doing that. So, by the way, if you're looking for the official, like, what's the, you know, how, like, you know, an MD is a medical doctor, LP, period, AC period is what you would see at the end of a licensed acupuncturist name. Is that correct?
Yeah, in most states. In Florida, they'll go by AP, which stands for acupuncture physician. But in just about everywhere else in the country, LAC is what you're going to look for. That's the kind of the gold standard. It is the gold standard. Means we've done the most training specifically to do acupuncture and Chinese medicine. So it's great that the DOs and MDs and nurses and stuff are doing acupuncture in the sense that, you know, they can help disseminate it. And there's certain protocols that are pretty straightforward. But to really get the full benefit of like the pulse and the tongue diagnosis, you're going to want to see an LAC.
Yeah. So make sure that you check them out. If you're in the Brooklyn area, go check out, you know, Jim in Brooklyn. And then if you're not, just like Google or let me know, give me a message, something like that. And I will make sure that you get linked up with acupuncturists in your area. But Jim, thank you so much. This was absolutely excellent.
And pleasure.
Go check out Pleasure Points. Go get his book. And like I said, check out the show notes so you can get a recap of everything that we talked about on today's podcast. Jim, do you have any final thoughts for us before we break here?
No, thanks so much for having me on. This is great.
All right, awesome. You guys take care, and we will catch you again on our very next Facebook Live, podcast, whatever you listen to. Take care, everyone.